Well, a man who identifies as a gay Christian finds my stances to be hypocritical. How do I respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding in my hands an email that was sent my way April 12th, so just last Thursday. I responded to it Friday, and we sent a note to the author of the email, just give his first name, Gary, to let him know that I was going to interact with his email on the show today, this Wednesday here on The Line of Fire, where we focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. I felt the email was that important that I took time to interact with it. I feel it'd be instructive for all of you listening, and Gary, I really hope you are listening to this as we sent you a note to let you know about the show. And if you're able to call in, please do so. If you listen to me enough, you know that I'm not going to bash you as a caller. But in any case, I've got your email. Friends, this is a show that you'll find enlightening, instructive, and important. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. I also want to play an audio clip for you with some of the responses received to it, received from it after it was aired online. I think you'll find that enlightening as well. It's an answer to a question I gave for a ministry called One Minute Apologist, where they talk with different apologetics leaders and ask important probing questions, and you've got to answer in a minute or so. I think you'll find it enlightening, not just what I had to say, but what the response was. Now, let me throw this out to you. Tell me what you think of this. Just general premise, and then I want to read Gary's email and interact with it. The heterosexual church has enough problems of its own. We have rampant, no-fault divorce in our midst. We have issues with pornography in the pew, sometimes even in the pulpit. We have scandals with different leaders. A lot of our kids are not walking with the Lord, or they start out fine. By the time they get to college, they go away to college, they lose their faith. Many of our own kids are having abortions. Plus, look at society as a whole. I mean, there's a massive epidemic of pornography, heterosexual pornography, in our society as a whole. There's a horrific, terrible epidemic of abortion. There are so many other issues. There's gang violence in the inner cities and in the suburbs as well. There are so many issues of sin in the society as a whole. Why in the world do we make such an issue, or do I and other leaders make such an issue about homosexuality? Fair question. How would you respond to that? 866-34-TRUTH. And if there's a beam in our own eyes, a giant piece of wood in our own eyes, what gives us the right to tell someone else they have a speck in their eye? That's a question I want to address. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm going to interact with Gary's email, all right? Again, sent to me April 12th. And I think you'll find this to be very instructive, very helpful. Dear Dr. Brown, I listen to Christian radio because I am a Christian. And I am a gay male. I don't feel that I need to apologize for that to you. Sometimes during your broadcasts, I have to turn you off because you just go so far in chastising gay people. So there are a few things I want to discuss before I get into the heart of Gary's email. Number one, can you be a gay Christian? Maybe you're listening and say, that's me. Well, call, let's talk about it. Can you be a gay Christian? That's question number one. Question number two, do I chastise gay people here on The Line of Fire? You can call in and say you better believe you do. Be as specific as you can. It's always helpful. You can call in with another position. That's just fine. But we're going to talk these things through. Got no desire to be defensive. I've got a strong desire to be truthful.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm reading an email from Gary from last week, April 12th. Begins by saying, "Dear Dr. Brown, I listen to Christian radio because I am a Christian and I'm a gay male. I don't feel that I need to apologize for that to you." First, Gary, this is not between me and you. This is between you and God. We'd agree with that, right? That I don't need to apologize to you. You don't need to apologize to me for who I am or who you are, unless I've sinned directly against you or you against me. This is between us and God. So the question is, what do you mean by saying that you are a gay male? If you mean that you are same-sex attracted, but recognize that to please God, you cannot act on those attractions, so you're celibate, or you're in a heterosexual relationship asking God to change you, but in any event, you're not acting on your homosexual desires, and that you're not affirming homosexuality, of course you can be a follower of Jesus and have desires that you're struggling with and working through. Every human being has that. If you're saying that you're a practicing homosexual and a follower of Jesus at the same time, I say that's impossible based on Scripture. So that's an issue between you and God. And I'm not going to apologize to you for saying that. Anyone having sexual relations or romantic relations that are the bonding of two people together outside of marriage as God ordained it, which is one man and one woman, outside of that, it's always sin. It's always sin. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I'll take some calls. You can agree with me. You can differ with me. I'll gladly take some calls on that, but I just want to make that clear. Then you say, sometimes during your broadcast, I have to turn you off because you just go so far in chastising gay people. Gary, I'd love to hear why you say that. I'm not being combative. I take strong exception to gay activism. I constantly address that. And my latest article on townhall.com, Censorship in London and Moral Insanity in Rhode Island, begins by saying this: I would love to take a break from writing about gay-related issues, but it's hard to keep silent in light of some of the things taking place here in America and in the UK. These things keep knocking at our door. These things keep coming our way. These things, in a sense, are assaulting me all the time and assaulting our society and assaulting our families and are pouring through the media and the political realm and courts and on and on and on. So my issue is gay activism. Quite explicitly, as I've said many times, the word the Lord gave me was simply this: reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion, resist gay activism with courage. It's that simple. My issue is with the agenda. My issue is with the activism. And if you'll speak to people who've sat under my ministry, both those who listen regularly on radio, those who've heard me preach and teach, they've developed a tremendous heart of compassion for the homosexual community based on the things that I have communicated. So when you say I chastise gay people, can you recognize my issue is with gay activism? Can you recognize that my issue is with how these things affect our culture, affect our families, affect religious liberties, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, affect our children's education? That's my ongoing issue, Gary. In any case, you say this: Dr. Brown, over the weekend, thousands of non-married heterosexuals will have sex out of wedlock. Thousands of heterosexuals will have intercourse outside of marriage. Heterosexuals abort their children. Homosexuals do not abort children. Heterosexuals have made a mockery out of marriage. Heterosexuals marry knowing they can get as many divorces as they want. Heterosexuals kill their children via abortion. Not homosexual. Is it just because you are heterosexual that you turn a blind eye towards these sexual sins and murders? That's the most disturbing part of your email, Gary. I've written 21 books now. One book is focused on homosexual issues. If you read any of my other books, read Go and Sin No More, my book on holiness, for example. If you read any of my other books, when I'm focusing on sexual sin, 99% of it is dealing with heterosexual issues. When you listen to messages I've preached, the most famous message of mine, the best known message of mine that I have preached on in terms of a holiness message is called Acharit, the final consequences of sin and righteousness. And throughout this message, I've preached it around the world. We've given it away hundreds and hundreds of copies over the air. It's free to listen to online. I constantly, through this message, talk about sexual sin with almost the entire focus being on heterosexual sin. Talking to men about lust after women, talking to women about how they dress and present themselves. And the abortion issue, our congregation, our students, as long as we've been a congregation, as long as we've had school, they're always involved in pro-life activity. I work closely with folks like Lou Engel and others who've given their lives to combat abortion. I write about this in book after book. I've talked about this as being the principal sin that will destroy America, that gay activism is the greatest threat to religious freedom and the greatest moral issue right now. But the thing that has blood on our hands is abortion. I've not been called to make abortion my main focus, but it is something that we're on the front lines of as a family ministry and standing for biblical values and principles for years and years and years and years and years. And I have said over and again that heterosexual divorce has done more to destroy marriage than all the gay activists combined. Why isn't that heard? That's what concerns me, Gary. When I preach against these things, when I speak against these things, when I address these things over and over for decades, why is that ignored the moment I begin to focus on homosexual activism? That seems so odd to me, Gary. I don't know if you just listen here and there, you haven't listened enough, but that's what concerns me, that somehow you're not hearing the thousands of messages and hundreds of references on radio and dozens of times in print that I address these issues of sexual purity and holiness. And as a heterosexual, that's what I'm relating to more. I'm relating to heterosexual temptation and lust and adultery and so on, and constantly talking about these things and going out of my way to point the finger at us first. How many times have you heard me say the greatest problem in America today is not the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light? Why aren't you hearing that, Gary? I'm really trying to understand that and sort that out. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Jacob in New Tripoli, Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Jacob.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir.
Go ahead.
I was curious about what part of the Bible specifically it refers to homosexuality. As in, you know, man shall not lay with man.
Yeah, Jacob, what normally happen is that a homosexual man or woman reading that passage, either who believes the Bible to be true and is trying to work out how the Bible can be true and how it can condemn a man lying with a man, or they're gay activists trying to trip us up, they'll say to you, well, Jacob, that's in Leviticus. Leviticus 18, Leviticus 11 has food laws. Do you follow those food laws? And then they'll give you bunches of other laws that are found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and ask, do you follow them? And do you wear garments, you know, with mixed fabrics and so on and so forth? And the simple answer, Jacob, is this, that there are some things in the law that God gave to Israel to keep them separate from the nations, like the food laws and mixing fields with different kinds of seeds and two different kinds of garments. Those were separation laws to keep Israel separate. So with the food laws, he says, for example, in Deuteronomy 14, these are an abomination for you. However, there are other laws that were universal, like don't murder, don't commit adultery. And in Leviticus 18, it identifies these laws as universal. It says there, the beginning of Leviticus 18 and the end, don't do what the Canaanites and the Egyptians did. Because the Canaanites and Egyptians practiced these sins, including incest, including homosexual practice and other things, because they practiced these things, the land drove them out. So these are universal abominations, universally displeasing things, and homosexual practice is singled out in the entire list of abominations as the one that is specifically called an abomination, among abominations, and then under Old Testament law, Leviticus 20, it also had the death penalty. So this was the only thing that had both death penalty and was called an abomination. Now, if God forbid we're talking about death penalty for homosexual practice today. But this is not just one of those laws like the food laws and other things that God gave Israel to keep them separate from the nations. This was a universal abomination. And that's the answer we have. So for a homosexual man or woman trying to get around that, for a man in particular trying to get around Leviticus 18, it's really problematic if they're honest with the text. It doesn't mean God hates them. It means that God has a better way. Hey, Jacob, thank you, sir, for the call and the very direct question. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are jammed. I will get to your calls right on the other side of the break and continue to interact with Gary. Gary, I'm being as honest as I can with you, and I hope the fact that I take this whole show to interact with your email is meaningful to you, even in the midst of our disagreements. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you're just tuning in, I'm interacting, continuing to, I don't know what it is with my constant traveling and speaking. Sometimes I get run down, and then just as I'm getting my throat clear and getting over a cough, then I get hit with the thing again. So I've got to get 100% whole, so I'm not occasionally looking away from the mic to clear up my throat. Thanks for your patience. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm interacting with an email from Gary, who identifies as a gay Christian male and who feels that I'm ignoring all the heterosexual sin being committed, having some honest and candid interaction with his email, feeling that he's really missing the mark in terms of who we are and the message we bring and why we bring it. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Zachary in Beltsville, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I love the way that you handled the last question. You did so with honesty and with wisdom, and I appreciate that. I wanted to point out the fact that probably a few weeks ago, you probably remember somebody trying to take you to task or coming with you with the issue that you were defending Jews and defending Zionist issues more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a very good job of defending your position on that. And the truth of the matter is that whatever issue or whatever sin faces the individual who's listening to the gospel, they are always going to take issue with that. And they're always going to point that out as being the issue in which you seem to focus on. And truthfully, I think the Holy Spirit's really dealing with this individual, as well as those who struggle with that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I would say that if there was, to be honest, I've heard you spend a lot of time dedicated on theological issues, political issues, anything that is relevant to us, in the Word of God and how we should take an approach to it. And I would say, honestly, that I've heard you very unbiasedly address that issue as well as others. But if you were to take one issue and put it above all the others, along with theological issues, I would say, what issue destroys families, destroys the government, not just from biblical views, but realistically? What issue, if you had to take one issue, I would say it would be, sexual immorality.
Yeah, and Zachary, I appreciate the different points you make very much. First, the fact is, if someone has a sensitive area or an area that they particularly identify with, and you come near that area, it is going to stir things up. And it's, I went to give Nancy a hug the other day in the morning or when I was getting ready to leave, and it was gentle, but she said, ow, ow. Well, she has a very sensitive spot in her back where she hurt herself. And just when I put my hand there gently, it causes pain. So the same way, someone can listen to me for a month, and then when I hit on an issue maybe twice in a month that's of sensitive nature to them, they'll think, why do you always talk about that and only talk about that? It's very true. The fact is, though, that I'm not going to apologize for addressing the issues of homosexual activism. Yeah, I address issues of sexual immorality and divorce and impurity on a regular basis and have so for years and years, and talk about the sins of the church where we have to repent first. And have said that in public apologies to the homosexual community. but I'm certainly not going to apologize for addressing something that is coming our way on every front and that is constantly putting pressure on us to silence us. And basically, the gay activist mantra is we will intimidate, we will manipulate until you capitulate. We're not about to capitulate here, but Zachary, thanks for the observations, and may it be so that the Holy Spirit is working on Gary and that he can come to a place of freedom and repentance. 866-34-TRUTH. In Washington, D.C., this is E. That's all I have for your name, but welcome to the broadcast, E. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, wonderful. Dr. Brown, I appreciate the work that you do. And I just wanted to address the first question on whether or not there can be a homosexual follower of Christ. And I would have to say that Scripture points it out to be a negative. You mentioned Leviticus 18:11, but Romans 1:27 also speaks about the abomination of men being lovers of themselves. So if that helps, I think Joshua, the previous caller, if the New Testament for some individuals says, you know, hey, the Old Testament doesn't work for mm-hmm. me, you know, the New Testament also identifies it once again in Romans 1:27. And so I think the Scripture is clear that you can't be a follower of Christ if you're willingly walking in sin. And 1 John speaks strongly about that there, you know, when you're walking with Christ, that you can't be living a life of sin. And so the same is that there can't be a Christian adulterer, a Christian mm-hmm. murderer, that you can't adapt a lifestyle of sin and then identify yourself with an all holy and almighty.
This is one area, even putting aside the issue of gay activism, just the personal issue of homosexual practice. Now people will sometimes say to us, oh, yeah, but see, the adulterer, they already have a relationship and they're sinning outside of it. Or the murderer, that's just plain sin, but you're telling a homosexual you don't have the right to love. No, I'm telling them there are many people in this world who have desires, very deep desires, very real desires,
absolutely,
very profound desires that they simply cannot act upon because of the holiness of God and the standards of God. You say, well, you're just condemning those people to an empty life. No, I'm saying that there can be fulfillment and wholeness in Jesus. And I know men, in particular, some have interacted with some women who've had same-sex attraction and still have it, but they know what pleases God, so they live holy lives, and they say they're very content, very fulfilled, very satisfied, and when God changes their desires, they can have a heterosexual relationship. Until then, they know these things are wrong, they don't act on them, and they find wholeness in Jesus. This is not a message we're speaking with hard hearts. It's a message we're speaking with tears, but it's a message we're speaking that's not so much a social message as it is a spiritual message. Hey, I've got to run. I've got a break coming up, but thank you, sir, for your comments and for the kind tone of your voice as well. Friends, we're having a great response to our special resource offer this week, and with good reason. It's really important, and we're practically giving it away. It was originally a $30 series, 12 hours of teaching on what used to be 8 audio cassettes. We now have it on CD, and we've cut the price to the bone, plus we're paying the postage, just $10. So something just about all of you can take advantage of, and I encourage all of you to call. Just $10, my entire series on spiritual warfare. Trust me, you will find this to be absolutely grounded in Scripture. What is the armor of God? What is spiritual warfare? What's the nature of the battle ring? I mean, do we fight the devil? How does this work? What are the weapons God has given us to be overcomers? Just $10, postage paid. If you can help with an additional gift or become a torchbearer, that is absolutely wonderful. But I want everyone to take advantage of this. Just $10 on one CD for your computer or MP3 player. Trust me, you will be impacted by this teaching series on spiritual warfare. And like I said, we're practically giving it away. 1-800-278-9978 is the number to call. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Get the Spiritual Warfare series today. And friends, let's focus on our own lives, live lives that are pleasing to God. Then we'll be able to touch the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm responding to an email sent in by Gary, who identifies as a gay Christian male. And I've said that my issue is not with someone having same-sex attraction. My issue is with someone acting on those and claiming to be a follower of Jesus. So the word is absolutely clear that we can't do both. And Gary's concerned that I go too far in chastising gay people. And I really wanted to get understanding from him as to why I say that, because I'm constantly reaching out with compassion to those with same-sex attraction, simply saying my issue is with gay activism. And when Gary says, you know, I'm ignoring abortion and I'm ignoring all these other issues, no, absolutely not. I've written more about that over the years and addressed that more over the years, in particular heterosexual sexual sin, than I have with issues having to do with homosexuality. I've written one out of 21 books dealing with homosexual issues, but Gary feels that I'm basically ignoring the one and focusing on the other, and asks, what is 5% or 15% of the population frighten you so much? Well, Gary, it's about 3%. The latest survey by a gay-friendly researcher put it at 1.7% of the population identifying as homosexual. Some might make it as generous as 3%. I'm not frightened by it. I take exception to the activism. You say, I would think that 85% of the population killing their mistakes, trolling for sexual gratification out of wedlock, would alarm you more than the constant barrage of anti-gay rhetoric you spew each day. Well, let's get the figure right. 97% of the population killing their mistakes. Gary, I've addressed these issues for years. Our students and friends are in front of abortion clinics every single week. We, once or twice a year, do something as a congregation that focuses on gay activism. Normally, when something comes to our city, we'll do an outreach at the same time. Every week, we have folks involved in pro-life. Every week. All around the world, our missionaries are involved in caring for orphans and trying to save the lives of babies. And we're all constantly fighting the battle for sexual purity in the heterosexual community. And when you speak of the constant barrage of anti-gay rhetoric I spew each day, so on Thursdays, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, I spew it. On Tuesdays, where we focus on teaching and apologetics, I spew it. On Fridays, you've got questions, we've got answers, where I just answer e-questions that come in, I spew it. On Mondays musings, where it could be anything under the sun I talk about. See, the problem is to interact with things that I find to be complete exaggerations. I hope the book sales are the motivating force behind your constant barrage. Well, first, it's not a constant barrage. Second, it's not a barrage at all. I'm simply seeking to speak the truth in love. But I wrote the book at considerable cost to myself, massive effort and a lot of pain. I wish I didn't have to write it. And you don't write a book like that big, and put it out in hardcover, 700 pages, and self-publish when you're trying to make money. That's very Republican of you, scare people to sell your book. I'm not a Republican, Gary. Remember, Dr. Brown, on that day of reckoning, you just might be asked, what did you do to prevent your heterosexual brothers and sisters from committing sexual sins and murder? Oh, I'll do well on that one, Gary. I'll do well on that. I've got a track record of preaching about sexual sin, heterosexual sin, for decades. And if you'll search my website, you'll find many, many, many such messages. And as far as dealing with abortion, we are in constant support, help, solidarity with ministries. In fact, that are pro-life ministries. In fact, Gary, when God spoke to me, reach out and resist, it was January of 2005. You know where I was? I was standing in front of the Supreme Court with my friend Lou Engel and hundreds of others with life tape on our mouths praying for the end of abortion on demand in America. That's when God spoke to me about that. God bless you, Doctor. I hope we communicate more during the year. By the way, as you're reading this, a heterosexual is aborting her mistake. Ho-hum. It's not ho-hum to me. I'm sure it's not ho-hum to you. The good news is that we've got Gary on the line. So, Gary, I've read your email. I've commented. You are next, sir. Thank you for calling.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm delighted that someone who wrote to us, someone who wanted to communicate, is now taking the time to call in. This is the Gary I've been speaking about, reading his email. And it turns out tomorrow I've got an email from a Jewish Jewish listener wanting to raise issues about Jesus. And I thought the email was worthy of talking about that on the show tomorrow. So I'm doing that tomorrow. Perhaps he'll call. But I'm so pleased that Gary has called in now. And hopefully we can model how to interact and have some differences in a way that is not hostile. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Gary, thanks so much for listening and for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Well, thanks, sir. Tell you what, why don't you explain to me and to our listeners, if you want to, how it is that you find it compatible to be a gay Christian? Because obviously we have a different take on that.
Certainly. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins as well as the world's sins. I also believe that he rose from the grave and that he ascended into heaven, and I believe that he will come again. And according to John, that's all I need to do is I believe and I trust that that will happen. I believe in God, and I am saved by my belief and faith.
Okay. It says in Romans 10 that if we confess him as Lord, we'll be saved. So is Jesus the Lord of your life?
Absolutely, but I am also a man. I'm also says in Romans about being carnal. Paul makes good notes of that during, I think it's in chapter 7, somewhere about being a carnal man, that he does the things he does that he hates to do, but he still does them. And that we are carnal beings, and that's my point, basically, is that I have no disagreement in what you're calling bad behavior or sin, okay? I think we're in agreement on what sin is, but my problem is that sometimes it seems like you point to all these sins, that the homosexual is the one that's doing all this sinning, that he can't be saved, when the heterosexual male, female, is doing the exact same sin outside of wedlock, and it seems to be okay. Now, I know you say you've written several books, sir. I know you've written, I've not read all your books, I apologize for not.
No, that's all right.
I have wanted to read the one about A Queer Happening in America, I believe,
Yeah.
But I'm afraid to read that because I would like to read it for hope, not for condemnation. And I'm sure that what I'm going to find on those first few pages is probably condemnation.
Yeah, well, actually, that book is written to wake up the conscience of America about gay activism. So it would not be the book to read for hope. There are other things that I've written that would be more appropriate that don't deal with homosexuality, that just deal with our relationship with God and call us deeper in the Lord. And I'd be happy to send you one of those. In fact, when we're done, if you'll stay on the air, stay on the line, Dwight will get your contact info, and then we won't put you on any mailing list or anything like that, okay?
But I'll send you on your mailing list. I would appreciate being on your mailing list, quite frankly.
All right. Well, thanks, Gary. So let me sort out a couple of things.
Sure.
When I deal with, say, Monday, I talked about the censorship in London on mm-hmm. the buses, or the mural that was going to be covered over in Rhode Island depicting a family. As far as I can tell, I'm not then talking about what two men or two women do in private. In other words, I don't talk on the show about, I can't believe two men are doing this to each other, or two women are doing this, and this is the worst sin of all. It's always the activism that I'm talking about and the effect it has on our kids in schools or the effect it has on our culture. Are you able to separate that? Now, obviously, I'm not justifying homosexual practice, but are you able to separate the two things, Gary, that one's the activism and that I'm not focusing on the act of homosexuality all the time?
Yes, Dr. Brown, I think you do that quite clearly, and I think you do that quite justifiably. But my problem with it is that immediately after you say things like that, and I listen to that show about the censorship, and I listen to the show about the covering of the mural, calls begin to come in, and it's not about they are not separating that issue. It's always led to homosexual this, the homosexual that, the homosexual this, the homosexual that. Why are those homosexuals doing that? And again, you mentioned that it is a small, I'm not sure the numbers, I'm not politically involved that much, you know. I'm just speaking as a gay Christian man who is a man who is Christian and has gay impulses, and I've been gay all my life. I didn't wake up one day, Dr. Brown, and say, oh boy, I can't wait to be gay today. Mm-hmm. I am gay. I am a Christian. I have no choice over that. I've been called by the Lord at a very young age, and I try to preach the Word of God from my Bible to other gay men. But it's very difficult when I tell them that they should listen. That's why I turned on to your show, because sometimes you enlighten me with some things, especially the Jewish law and the Torah and the things like that, that I don't understand. And you're very good at that. But then we suddenly turn the corner, and I hear myself being a homosexual, being berated, being told, you know, that we are all these horrible things that we all do, and that we're all together in this, we're going to destroy children. The children that I have run into, and there's a thing called also, again, I'm not politically active, but I do know these certain groups because I speak to them. Those children don't seem to have any problem with this gay issue. It's their children's parents that seem to be having this big issue about it and are trying to fight it off. I'm sure we have to protect our children. I'm not saying that. But I really don't understand why you think that the children are under any kind of threat by us being Christian gay people. I don't think Jesus would run away from us. I think Jesus would embrace us, quite frankly. I don't think he would run away from us.
Yeah, well,
Gary, that was being stoned in the streets.
Yeah, first, I think it's so important that our listeners hear what you're saying. Whether they agree with each point or not, it's not the issue. Obviously, I take issue with certain points, but listening to stories like yours, reading them, God knows the times I've gotten alone in my room, gotten on my knees and cried and said, oh, God, you know, I care about these people so deeply. It's so painful to me to take on the activism, because in taking on the activism, I feel like I'm pushing away the people. So I want every parent, I want every listener, I want every young person to think about what you would do if you're in Gary's shoes. You believe in Jesus, you want to follow the Lord, but as sure as you are of that, you're sure that you're same-sex attracted, and you know certain things are wrong, but you struggle. The church needs to have incredible compassion. And Gary, when I minister these things to our own congregation, to Fire, I've said over and over again, are we going to have the compassion to take people in, and when they fall 100 times, to pick them up 100 times and walk with them? What I want you to understand, though, plainly, Gary, is that I would, in terms of sexual practice, I would say the exact same thing to a heterosexual. Now, I know you say, well, they have an outlet in marriage. I understand that. But I'm just saying, if a heterosexual man says, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, I would tell him, you cannot follow Jesus and sleep with your girlfriend at the same time. And if he points me to Romans 7, I would say Romans 7 is Paul talking about the struggle of trying to please God under the law, and we constantly do the opposite of what we know is right. However, he comes to Romans 8 and says there's no condemnation because we can be delivered and free, and we don't have to serve the flesh. That's the key thing, that there is a place of holiness and grace to walk in, putting aside your sexual desires, orientation, if they're heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, that there is a place of transformation we can have, so that our greatest desire is to please God, and the power of the flesh is broken over us, just like when I was shooting heroin. The power of that, which was very dominant in my life, when I came to Jesus, I was free from it. So let me ask you this, Gary. And again, I'm so glad you listen. And trust me, when I'm doing radio in future weeks, I'll be thinking about you. I'll be asking myself, are you listening? Do I have a word to minister to Gary? I mean, trust me, I'm not saying that in an empty way. When folks take this amount of time to interact with me, it sticks in my head, and I'm conscious of them. Gary,
I respect you, sir, and I respect what you have to say, and I respect your knowledge, but I just felt compelled to write that email and to make this call because I feel like my brothers are being assaulted by you, and maybe indirectly, and that's driving them away from the church where I'm trying to bring them to it. I have a hard time to bringing people to Jesus when they say, well, this guy just called us all a bunch of sinners and we're condemned to death, but I see the guy up here going on with his second girlfriend, divorce is happening all around me, all their friends are divorced.
Right, so I say those are problems all the way around. In other words, I'll put it in medical terms, okay? So I'm just using an analogy. One person has cancer, another person has a heart condition, another person is suffering from degenerative bone disease. They're all problems that Jesus, the healer, can fix. So the same way, whether someone's engaging in homosexual sin, whether someone's engaging in heterosexual sin, sin is sin. Jesus calls us to repent. What I want to underscore, though, Gary, and we've got a break coming up, but let me commend you also for the gentleness of your tone and for the respect with which you speak. I want to emphasize again, my issue is with gay activism, and when kids in school are going to have homosexuality normalized or being told that, hey, maybe you're bi, maybe you're trans, and they're elementary school kids. I mean, it's so outrageous to me. If the kid's struggling with their identity, let's reach out with love to help them. But the church has often failed, Gary, in reaching out with compassion to the homosexual community. I try to walk this tightrope of addressing the agenda of gay activism while reaching out to individuals with compassion. But I've got to run now, but please stay on hold. I want to send you a book that doesn't deal with homosexuality. It deals with holiness and purity. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And let's stay in touch, all right, Gary? But stay on the line, okay?
We'll do that. Right. I hope we do stay in touch. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Friends, can I enlist you to pray for Gary, to pray that the love and power of God would flood his life in a way he'd never imagined? Would you please do that? Back with more of your calls. Thanks.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, again, I am so pleased that Gary took the time to call. And it even indicates, hearing the tone of the email and hearing the tone of the caller, that what you write does not always come across. It happens to me all the time. That what I write comes across one way. I'm talking about an email communication or posting on Facebook or something, whereas if I was saying it, there's intonation and other things. But again, let's really pray for Gary, and let us really have a heart for those who struggle and for those who say, I want to follow Jesus and I'm same-sex attracted and struggle with carnality. Our hearts should break for people like that. 866-34-TRUTH. Carmen in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello,
Carmen.
Carmen?
Yes, go ahead,
yes,
please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Brown, God bless you. I am so happy I reached you. I'm sitting in my car listening to you, and I just had to park and pray and say, God, do you want me to get in touch? And this is what God put in my heart, especially to Gary. I lived a homosexual life. As a young child, I was lost. I didn't know who I was. For many reasons, I was involved in homosexuality. I thought that I could do what Gary did. I could live a Christian life. God would still love me. He'll save me. And I could still have a little piece of the action, homosexuality. But as God began to deal with my soul and my spirit, I couldn't take it anymore. I made a decision. I said, God, I want to put my hand, I want to put my soul in your hand. I want to be the woman you want me to be. You know what he did for me? For 7 years, I lived a celibate life, and I was busy in the church, just working in his vineyard. And one day, after the 7 years, God brought to me, on my doorstep, my future husband.
Wow.
And I only had one criteria, Dr. Bob. I said, God, if you ever bring a man into my life, he's got to love you more than he can ever love me. And my husband was studying to be a priest in the Catholic Church. God took him out of there.
Wow.
Brought us together, and we've been together for 10 years, and I've never been so at peace and assured that God is going to take me home one day, because I am trying my best. But most importantly, Dr. Bob, he's in charge. I'm no longer in charge. And I believe, Gary, once you let go, I had to let go. I thought I could have all my gay friends near me, but they couldn't identify with me, Gary. They couldn't relate to me. They would ostracize me. They will put me down, or they would try to set me up with someone. I had to be separate, as God said in his word. I had to separate myself. I had to make an effort. Wait on the Lord, Gary, and wait and see what he has for you. It's going to be so much better than what you can ever imagine.
Carmen, I appreciate that. What a testimony to what Jesus can do in our lives. When I spotted your call, I wanted to get to it immediately. And Carmen, how old were you when you first realized you were same-sex attracted?
I was exposed to it at a very young age, at age 13 through age 18. Homosexuals would come and go in my household, through friends, through neighbors, Dr. Bob. And at that time, you know, they came on to me. And at that time, an adolescent is struggling with identity.
Yeah.
So I was trying
and
to
by the way, that's
Dr.
why it's
Bob.
So that's why it's so important in terms of what we speak about in the schools because kids are impressionable. So, and I'm just short on time, but quickly then, how long was it that you lived as a lesbian and identified as such?
Living as a lesbian, I will live with someone for 1 year and live single for 3 years because I struggle with back to the Lord.
Yeah.
I will live with someone for 3 years and I will go running back to the Lord. And it wasn't me, Dr. Bob. I just want people to understand it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God in me, pulling me home all the time, pulling me back into safety. And I had enough of it. And I said, I can't do this no more. When I finally told my closest gay friends, I can't do this no more, they cursed me. They didn't want to hang out with me no more. They treated me so poorly. And I said, thank you, Lord. You answered, you know. In other words, he closed the doors. I didn't. I struggled with it for 17, almost 20 years, Dr. Bob. And when I finally gave up,
yeah,
God took it, you know.
What an amazing story. I mean, the key thing is, for anyone listening, whatever the sin is they're dealing with, I can't let go. Let go. Let go and realize that your real identity is being a follower of Jesus, being a son or daughter of God, and nothing is more important than that. And in your own power, you can't do it. You're going to fail. But by God's power, transformation can come. You can't deny, friends, what Carmen is saying. And she lived celibate for years, so she committed to holiness first, and then God gives her a husband. Hey, last question. Are you and your husband in a mutually satisfying, blessed relationship? Are you happily married as a couple?
Let me tell you something. I will not change my God-fearing, God-loving husband for anything in the world. Him and I'm going to continue our relationship in heaven because he is my other half. And that's what I want to tell Gary. You know, Gary, anything that you want, that you can imagine that can bring you happiness in this earth, it's not going to compare to what God has for you and the happiness that he has in store for you. I dare you, Gary, I dare you to be separate and wait on the Lord and wait until he has something, that special something for you. You're going to be so amazed. It's not going to compare to the happiness that he has in store for you.
Yeah, Carmen, thank you, and thank you for speaking with compassion and with truth to Gary. I know you pray for him, too. Yeah, go ahead. You got to be real quick.
Real quickly, Dr. Bob, thank you. Dr. Brown, thank you so much. You are such a blessing to me. I hear you every day, and I'm so blessed to know that there are people like you out there. And you know what? Continue to be a radical and continue to tell people the truth, because you know what? That's what we need today. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for the call, Carmen, and for reaching out to Gary. Gary, if you'll surrender and just say, Jesus, I'm yours and I belong to you alone, he can change you. He will deliver. And here God puts a heterosexual man in Carmen's life after 7 years of celibacy, and they're thrilled to be married, happily married and blessed. And it's different than any relationship she had. Hey, there's a question from John from Newark. I can't get you on the air now. We're short on time. But why this movement is so militant and aggressive? John, for the homosexual community, this is their life. In other words, this is a matter of living. This is a matter of being accepted. This is a matter of having their own desires normalized. And if you say, this is who I've always been, and this is your whole identity to be a certain way, obviously it becomes a consuming issue. And then, of course, like anything that's outside of God's purposes, it is empowered by supernatural forces. If you read A Queer Thing Happened to America, you'll get even more insight. I wish I could talk with you more, John, but no time right now. Friends, ultimately, our battle is spiritual. Ultimately, our battle is spiritual. So we're just about giving this away. Everybody listening, take advantage. 1-800-278-9978. 12 hours of my best teaching ever, biblically grounded, practical on spiritual warfare, on one CD for your computer MP3 player for just $10 plus. We'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Order today. If you can help us with an additional gift, that would be awesome. My bottom line, there really is freedom and deliverance in Jesus. There really are people who have come out of homosexuality and have found freedom and wholeness and even blessed heterosexual relationships in Jesus. With God, all things are possible. should we really be making such a big deal about the marriage amendment in North Carolina? And what's the unique role being played by the African-American church?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are in the midst of a big discussion here in North Carolina about the marriage amendment. We have been talking about this, and it's something of national interest. I want to speak with a black pastor who is a seminary professor, counselor, based here in North Carolina. And what we talk about here in North Carolina is actually of national interest. I want to talk with Gabe Rogers about this issue of marriage and family and the implications of it, and even counseling issues that come up, practical lifestyle issues about sexuality. Very, very important discussion I want to have with Dr. Gabe Rogers. Number to call if you've got a question for me or for my guest, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. May 8th. Come on, what's May 8th? Everybody living in North Carolina, May 8th, tell me. I know it's the 8th day of May. No, it's not Cinco de Mayo changed to Ocho de Mayo. No, no. May 8th is the day that we get to vote. You say, I'm not really interested in presidential primaries. Doesn't matter. If you are interested in God and family, vote yes on the marriage amendment May 8th. It'll be to our lasting shame if we don't. My guest, Dr. Gabriel Rogers, founder and pastor of Kingdom Christian Church in Charlotte. He's also president and CEO of Angel Gabriel Company, PLLC, which provides professional counseling services to individuals and families. Dr. Rogers graduated cum laude from Johnson C. Smith University, where he received a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration. He graduated with highest honors from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, where he received both an MA and PhD in counseling. He served as the vice chair of the North Carolina Board of Licensed Professional Counselors, a governor-appointed position, serves on the advisory committee of Carolina's Healthcare System Pastoral Care Division, and is an adjunct professor at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, as I am, in the Department of Counseling and Psychology, except I'm in the Old Testament department. It is a joy to have Gabe on the air. Gabe, that's quite a resume you've got there. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, Dr. Brown, it's a pleasure, my brother. Good to be here with you.
Gabe, on a personal level, why are you interested or concerned? I mean, you've got your plate full. You're a pastor, you're a professor, you're a counselor with a counseling organization. Why get involved with politics? Isn't that kind of dividing your calling and taking you away from the real burden that you should be focused on?
Absolutely, and I think it's probably the biggest lie ever told, is that the church ought to keep its hand out of politics. Politics is what governs how we live, what we do. The bountiful blessings that we as a country have experienced up until now is due to healthy politics. So I think when it comes down to it, those of us who are in ministry and are well active, we have to see the value that our church plays in politics. Real quick, in the 60s, during the civil rights movement, when we were trying to get equal rights as African Americans, one of the things that Martin King and the other ministers and pastors of that age did is they used the church as a vehicle of communication so that they could rally people, so that they could rebut some of those issues of that time, and thus affected great change as a result of that. So I'm an advocate for the proper use of the pulpit, the proper use of our influence, and I think those of us in our community and in the world at large ought to say something.
All right. We come back. We'll talk about this marriage family issue more. And I want to talk about structuring of people's lives. What happens when marriage is threatened or redefined? What happens to kids as they grow up? So no separation for Pastor Gabe Rogers between the pulpit and righteous political action.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. My guest, Pastor Gabe Rogers, he's also a professor at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, has a PhD in counseling and heads up a counseling organization. And we're talking about the marriage amendment in North Carolina. But we're talking about this in such a way that wherever you're listening in the country, this will be relevant to you. And Gabe made the point, he's a black man and a pastor. And if you think back to the civil rights movement, this was largely a church-based movement. Whether all the leaders were genuine Christians, God knows that. But Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and Reverend this, Reverend that, this was a church-based movement. And it didn't dawn on people that righteousness and justice should be separated from the pulpit when it had to do with the affairs of life. So Gabe, a fundamental question for you. You know massively more about counseling on an academic level, on a professional level, on a practical level than I do, and than most of our callers do. So let's just start here. Why is marriage so critically important? Why is male-female marriage the way God ordained it? Why do these things matter for family, for future generations? Or are we just doing what fundamentalist Christians do and being resistant to change? Or if we redefine marriage, does it mess with the very foundations of human society and human development?
Well, I think it's the latter of what you said. It messes with the foundations of human society and, yes, human development. Socially, the impact of legalizing, if you will, homosexual marriage would be significant. When you talk about the development even of a child, one of the taglines that the homosexual community is using is that if we vote yes for this amendment, it will harm family and children. It is the exact opposite of what they are saying. It will actually harm families and children if we vote no for the amendment, in that kids will now have to adapt to having two dads.
Well, what's the big deal, man? What? You're just bigoted. You should, of all people, Gabe, you should remember that the church was on the wrong side of the segregation issue, and people were constantly getting that wrong, and now you're just committing the same sins that were committed against you a generation ago, man. How can you be
bigoted? How could I, right? I above all people, should be sensitive.
Exactly. That's the line.
That's the biggest lie. And that, I quote my good colleague and friend, Pastor Patrick Wooden, in saying that we're not asking homosexuals to drink out of homosexual-only water fountains. We most certainly are not asking homosexuals to sit at the back of buses. And furthermore, being black never harmed anyone. The toxicity of the homosexual lifestyle, though, is evident even when you look at the CDC statistics. I mean, you look at the impact, you look at the rate of STD. I know in my arena of working, the daily work that I do, we don't talk about the fact that over half of the new STD cases are within this community, about 61%, and this is CDC stats. So,
yes.
You know, there's a lot of genuine impact that it would have, the socialization of it, the confusion of children, what they really, really need and desire, that can only come, if you will, from a man or from a woman. From a biblical standpoint, you could help me with this, Mike, but didn't Paul tell us in the book of Titus that it was the older women that were able to teach the younger women how to be domestic, how to manage their home? There's something that a young lady gets only from their mom. That they most certainly could not get from two dads.
So let's just talk about this further. And by the way, what brilliant and wonderful and truthful answers. And it always surprises me when I see black Americans saying this is now the new civil rights issue. A guy like John Lewis, who was such a respectful, important leader in the civil rights movement, and then goes to become a political leader, and he's championing this now that homosexual rights, this is the new civil rights movement. And I know so many African Americans that take offense to that for the reasons you gave and others. And to make the equivalency is so wrong. So your brilliant, wonderful answer. But I was at a debate, University of Central Florida last year, same-sex marriage, should it be legal? There was so much resistance to this debate taking place on a college campus that we were only allowed to have it with the presence of four armed police.
Wow.
that university vice presidents, five different university vice presidents were involved in the discussion whether to go ahead with it. Gay activists and diversity people tried to shut it down. Mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But the fellow I was debating, to my surprise, but to the hoots and hollers of some of the students that came with him, said, well, what's the difference between a man and a woman? Tell me one thing a woman can do that a man can't do. I mean, it was an unbelievable question. I actually chastised him for asking it and chastised the students for hooting and howling. But, you know, there's the popularization, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, whatever it is. As a counselor, what are the different dimensions between maleness and femaleness? Why did God ordain marriage to be the union of a man and woman? From a just a practical life counseling perspective, talk to us about that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, first of all, we should start with the physical dynamics. What are the physical differences between a man and a woman? Quite frankly, my wife and I have two beautiful children. I most certainly could not have done what she did for them on the day that they were born. There was something that she gave them that I could not give them, in that she was able to give birth via her physical faculties. So we'd have to start first with the biological case that is really clear, in that God gave her some tools that he didn't give me, and vice versa. And in the world of counseling and psychology, we always
let me just jump in. And as much as we sometimes get away from the foundations of how God made things, you know, as you were talking, I just got the image of a little kid playing with a puzzle, you know, and you teach the kid what goes with what and what matches. I remember as our kids were growing up or our grandkids were younger, you'd have like this little box and it had like a circle hole in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it had these different sides, and you'd pick the thing up. Okay, the circle goes through here. Oh, the square goes through here. So
Mike,
if you have go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if you just are looking at this, like, okay, God made certain people to be together. Which did he make to be together? On a biological level, so the sexual compatibility, the ability to conceive, the ability to carry a baby, deliver a baby, nurse a baby, and so on and so forth. It's only two parts that match, only the male and the female.
Mike, you're talking, and that's just it. And even socially and culturally, if you think about it, even when we plug our instruments up on Sunday morning, you use a male, if you will, plug to go into a female outlet. Ironically, right? If you try to put two male plugs together, you would get no power. It would not produce. Isn't that an interesting metaphor? So in the world of psychology, we have to look at the biopsychosocial model of a being to answer your question. And biologically, it doesn't fit. Psychologically, it has significant impacts that people never talk about. We never talk about the socialization that comes by being with someone of the opposite sex, the socialization that you cannot get if you are a man from another man. There's a protection clause in there for men, and what do I mean by that? When I am with my wife, she feels protected by default, because, not to mention, Mike, I have huge biceps, but she feels protected by default because I am a what? Man. Inherent in me is a fight, if you will, that only comes with being a man. That is even the socialization of it. So there becomes three dynamics that I think we have to look at and we have to take into consideration, if you will, to help us to understand why it would have a major impact on children, women, if you will, men, if we allow this to be so. And not to mention, and Mike, these are the stats that do not hit the mainframe, but not to mention the significant domestic issues that homosexuals face. We don't talk about that.
Well, isn't that the fault of homophobia, though? Isn't that society's fault? And if we could just be more tolerant, they wouldn't go through some of those issues?
Yeah, and that's their argument. Yet they're not able to make the case as to why, even when they isolate in their own communities, there is still this high level of dysfunctionality, even when they create their own bubbles, if you will. This is what the way I like to think through this lens is, you know, how do we create a dynamic that is healthy for everyone to interact with? And they're not able to answer that question, even in isolating into their own community.
Very interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, you know? it makes a lot of sense. Gabe,
I'm a protector, Mike, real quick, my wife is a nurturer. God has created her differently. Actually, this is part of the feminist movement, which is oftentimes driven by the lesbian culture that says anything you can do, I can do, and I can do just as good or better. The truth is, we're different.
And we're different by divine design and by divine,
divine
wisdom. All right, Gabe, when we come back, I want to ask the question now. We'll specifically focus, why is this marriage amendment vote so important for the people of North Carolina? And then what implications does it even have on a national level? My guest, Dr. Gabriel Rogers.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Marriage, family, male-female union, why do these things matter? 866-34-TRUTH, why is it incumbent on every person of conscience, May 8th in North Carolina, to vote yes for the marriage amendment? My guest, Dr. Gabriel Rogers, in fact, I've worked it out to make it a proper alliteration here. He is a pastor, he is a professor, and he is a professional counselor. There we go. Thanks for being with us, Gabe.
Mike, thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. I want to raise an objection or two and then address in the few minutes we have left the importance of everyone voting. Someone will come to us inevitably and say, we're just letting people marry the one they love. This is just a love issue. And how can we be so unloving as to tell two people who love each other and want to get committed that we do not recognize this as marriage and even go so far as to vote to say, no, we do not want to give you the right to marry the one you love? How do you respond to that?
Mike, that's a great question. And just real fast, when I teach abnormal psychology at area universities, and they'll stay nameless, but whenever I go to teach the course, the first question I ask the students is, would someone in here please define what normal is? What is normal? How do we define normal relations between a man and a woman, between a daughter and a father? The list goes on and on. And inevitably, especially when I'm teaching at the secular universities, I get all sorts of we need to be embracing and accepting of everyone's definition of normal. So there really is no abnormal. And then we expound on that, and I usually come back with this. If there is no abnormal, let me see the hands of everyone in here who has a child. And they raise their hand, and I say, well, since there's no abnormal, I really would like those of you who have children, when you go home, to pull up the sexual offenders list in your area, call two or three of them and ask them if they wouldn't mind keeping your children, and have your child spend time with the person who inevitably will touch them in inappropriate ways. And quite frankly, none of them would agree to do such a thing because there is a normal definition as to how we should interact socially, biologically, the list goes on and on. So as it would then, if we open up marriage, if we let this pass and we don't vote yes for this, we are saying that we are expanding this definition. We are saying that we are allowing people to begin to create how they think marriage should go. If that's the case, what stops a man then from wanting to be with an animal? I mean, if he wants to get, what stops the man who wants to have many, many wives? I mean, when does it stop? When does it become abnormal? And the truth is, if we look at society from history to now, Mike, there's a gradual desensitization. The bar gets lower and lower. And I'm telling you, if we allow this to pass and we don't vote yes for this marriage amendment, I am afraid for what my two-year-old child will have to face in her generation. So that's what we have to understand. And those people who, in the name of being compassionate, would say we are just being too restrictive or bigoted, we must put the question back on them then as to what is normal, what's okay, and if this is okay, then for God's sake, let's stop registering certain folks who touch kids. I mean, let's go on down the list. Let's have open marriages. Some communities call it go ahead and be a swinger. I mean, share your wife by all means. What are we really doing here? And the truth is the toxicity of STDs and every other implication of this would most certainly have a significant impact if we participate in those lewd and lascivious behaviors.
Gabe, do you find it hypocritical that we have campaigns against obesity in our schools and even want to legislate what McDonald's should or shouldn't do or can or can't do, that we have eliminated cigarette smoke from so many of our public facilities? You go to an airport if you want to smoke, and I've never smoked in my life, but if you want to smoke, you have a special smoking room. Otherwise, all the public places in the airport, of course, all the planes, you can't smoke. And this is to deal with the health risks of secondhand smoke and things like that, and to discourage people from smoking. And yet, in particular, there are health risks with women, sexual behavior as well. But
right.
The statistics are so well known for male-male sexual behavior, and
that's right.
Maybe
that's
50
right.
times or 60 times more likely to get a sexually transmitted disease or become HIV positive or
that's
develop AIDS.
The data, Mike, you just cited. You're exactly right. 61%.
So is it hypocritical for us to focus on the one? And in the schools, you're not even allowed to raise this, and you have to just tell a 13-year-old kid, hey, if you're gay, embrace that. That's healthy. That's good for you. And go with it. Do you find that to be hypocritical?
Highly hypocritical, Mike, and I'll expand that on an African-American level as well. Back in February of 2004, Al Sharpton was really clear in his endorsement of the homosexual community and how he would march with them to help them for their cause, because he believes that if a man, while his Christian culture would affirm that homosexuality is wrong, but he thinks people should have a right, in his own words, to choose to go to hell if they like. This is not a heaven and hell discussion, but to bring this off front and center and bring it complete the circle, Mike, think of it through this lens. So we jump in and get involved when some racial thing occurs, like a young man being gunned down, and we should. The struggle is not over. We should have something to say when a young man is arrested just for being black. We should have something to say when someone is not allowed in a university for being a particular color. But it baffles me how those guys get so involved in those kinds of agendas, as they should, yet when these votes come up, when abortion comes up, they fight to have a billboard taken down in New York. When these issues of homosexuality come to the forefront, you are exactly right. We are hypocritical even as a people. And those leaders, quote unquote, in our community have made us look bad. And I'm here to say that I think it's time for us to come and say that there is a group of us that don't think that way.
Yeah, and Gabe, we've got 1 minute left. Oh, you're making plenty of sense. we'll get you back on the air, and we'll talk through a whole lot of relevant issues. But we've got about 1 minute. In North Carolina, many African-American pastors are leading the way in voting yes for marriage. I see that as wonderfully important and significant. Could you underscore the significance of that in a minute or less for our listeners?
Real quick. Listeners, we have to get out there. We have to vote. We have to understand how impactful it will be if we allow the Constitution to be expanded. The Constitution was written this way for the health of our community and America at large. We're a blessed country. We have been blessed because we have obeyed the God of the Bible in times past. And I think, as David said in Psalm 30, we ought not keep quiet. We ought to show up on May 8th and any other dates as appropriate and make our vote be known so that we can join the other states in the Southeast that want to protect marriage being between a man and a woman.
Yeah, thank you, Gabe, for being articulate and for speaking the truth in love. And the fact is, we're the only southern state that has not voted on this and that doesn't have the marriage amendment. And 31 states have said, when they've been given the opportunity to vote, marriage is the way it has always been, the union of a man and a woman. And this will send a further message to the nation. Hey, we're out of time, but let's do this again, Gabe. Thanks so much
for joining us. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Dr. Gabriel Rogers, what a wonderful communicator, full of truth, full of wisdom. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I got an email from one of the grads of our ministry school, married woman with kids, someone that we got to know very well when she was a student here in our school of ministry. And she writes this to me: "I'm writing you to ask you to pray in agreement for my childhood pastor. He's an incredible man, a true man of faith, and he exudes Christ's love to everyone he comes in contact with. Yesterday, he updated his status to, in the spirit of justice for all and with true affections for my friends who are in committed relationships, I will vote against Amendment 1 on May 8th. Michael Brown here. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Amendment 1 is the marriage amendment. We're urging everyone in North Carolina to vote yes, yes for marriage on May 8th in North Carolina, and to also send a message of encouragement to the nation as we do so. This grad's heart is breaking for this pastor who she describes as an incredible man, a true man of faith, who exudes Christ's love to everyone he comes in contact with. And he says, in the spirit of justice for all, with true affections for my friends who are in committed relationships, I will vote against Amendment 1 on May 8th. And the grad writes to me, "My heart was so overwhelmed with sadness over his status that I messaged him and asked him to explain how he had come to such a conclusion. I shared my heart with him and what I believe to be truth. I also asked him if I could send him a copy of your book, Meaning a Queer Thing Happened to America, which he said he'd be happy to read. I know he's a truth seeker, and I believe this is a blind spot for him. He did not always believe this way, so I ask you to pray with me that his eyes be opened as he reads your book. And listeners, can I ask you to pray for this pastor whose name I don't even know personally, that God would open his eyes as he reads, not only for himself, but that he will not lead others astray." And then this grad writes, "My mother said to me as we were discussing this situation, I did not understand why Dr. Brown had to speak so often about homosexuality, but now I get it. He is a prophetic voice for this issue. I had no idea that so many people have bought into the lie. He has to speak the truth into this area and often." And the grad closes with, "Thank you so much for standing up for Jesus, no matter the cost. Blessings." Well, of course, it's my privilege and honor to do so. And in the first hour of the program, I read an email from a man who identified as a gay Christian male and who took issue with a lot of what I talk about on the broadcast. And I told him, we emailed him to say I was going to address it on the air, so I was going to read his email. And he called in, and we spent a lot of time talking. A very gracious, respectful man who said he believes in Jesus. He believed Jesus died for his sins, rose from the dead. Jesus is his Lord, but he's carnal. And he struggles with carnality, and he's always been gay, and this is who he is. But he's trying to lead people to Jesus, and then he hears me speaking against gays, and it pushes them away. So I discussed, I'm not speaking against homosexuals, I'm speaking against gay activism. That's always my issue. And I speak against heterosexual sin, and I always say the greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. We are the ones, followers of Jesus. I'll put it squarely, heterosexual followers of Jesus, we are the ones who are largely responsible for the moral decline in America, for the moral failing of America, for the backsliding of the church at large. And as leaders, we're responsible for that within the body. So I always put things squarely on our shoulders in terms of responsibility. At the same time, I won't back down, can't back down from addressing issues of homosexual activism. And we had a wonderful talk, and he's looking for hope. The man whose name is Gary is looking for hope. And at the end of the hour, a woman named Carmen called in from Brooklyn, New York, that she had been living as a lesbian for years and years and years, exposed to it as an adolescent, and that's how she lived. But then she'd come under conviction and would break away and then go back and forth. And finally, she couldn't fight the conviction anymore, so she surrendered to Jesus. She lived a celibate life for 7 years, active in the church, and then met a man who was going to be a Catholic priest, ended up instead marrying her in ten years. They've been in a wonderful, blessed heterosexual relationship. Friends, God can change us. The key thing is to surrender. But how do we respond to this pastor who says, in the spirit of justice for all, with true affections for my friends who are in committed relationships, I'll vote against Amendment 1 on May 8th? How do we respond to that? We'll talk about it. Take your calls right here on the Line of Fire.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I was looking at the call board here that lists our callers that are on hold, and I was ready to talk to Jennifer in North Carolina. Duh. But we lost her. Maybe she got out of range. Maybe she had to go back to work. Maybe she decided not to be on the air. Maybe her cell phone went dead. But she wanted to point out that, number one, same-sex marriage is already illegal in North Carolina. So why then should we have to vote to say it's illegal? Why send that further message? That's number one. And number two, it would affect healthcare issues for gay couples. I'm just going to see in the event that Jennifer's able to reconnect with us, I'll give her a moment. Sometimes that happens. People lose a phone connection. And I'll let her weigh in with her own viewpoint. If she's unable, I want to address those issues. Since it's already illegal in North Carolina, since marriage is already defined as the marriage of a union of a man and a woman, why have a constitutional amendment? Why do that? And what about health care for gay couples? How will they be affected? 866-34-TRUTH. And I want to directly address this pastor's status and what he said, taking the grad's word, grad from our ministry school, taking her word that this man is an incredible man, a true man of faith who exudes Christ's love to everyone he comes in contact with. And yet his view is he's going to vote against Amendment 1, which is mind-boggling to me as a follower of Jesus. Quote, in the spirit of justice for all and with true affections for my friends who are in committed relationships. We'll address that. 866-34-TRUTH. Will in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. My name's Will. And
yes, sir.
I just wanted to thank you and your guest, Pastor Gabriel Rogers, for, you know, having the courage, because this is not, you know, it's one of the great moral issues of our time.
And, yes, sir.
And if where I see the problem, I was in a fairly mainline denomination, but the pastor didn't have the courage, like your guest, Pastor Gabriel Rogers, to address the issue to his congregation. And so, consequently, the congregation, you know, later on, started to ordain same-sex pastors and same-sex marriages, and it sends a very, very confusing signal, because I think Pastor Rogers said, "Well, what's the definition?" You know, if God didn't give us a definition, then, you know, but He did. See, we're trusting Christ, and He was addressed on, is it lawful to put away a wife for this reason or that, in Matthew 19 and Mark 10. And so the one that had no sin, Jesus said, thy word is truth, and then sanctify them in the truth. So how did he answer them? He didn't take them back to Moses or Noah. He took them all the way back to Genesis 2:24, where God created an institution before there was a church or a government. And it was a marriage. He said, you know, man shall leave his father, singular, and his mother, singular, and cleave to his wife, singular.
Singular.
Yeah, yeah, because and, sin and came two, into the world, you only
right,
have to go
will,
to...
Just, yeah, just,
you
just
see
to,
polygamy, but God never told man
right,
to
right.
do that. That was just after the fall.
Right, and Will, just to jump in, what you're saying is wonderfully true and right on. He explicitly says, in the two, become one.
Exactly.
And here's the deal. If you say, well, separation of church and state, this has nothing to do with separation of church and state. This has to do with the way the Creator set things up on purpose, just like this. There's no government agency forcing me to eat a certain way, forcing me to exercise a certain way, forcing me to care for my body a certain way. But if I violate the Creator's intent, I'll pay the price, because we've been made a certain way. So God set up marriage, like you say, before there was government, before there was a
church,
congregation of believers on the earth, right, before any of this was happening, for the good of humanity and as a foundation. And when we tamper with that, we tamper with the very foundations of human life, of family, of how people develop and what happens in a society. It may take 50 or 100 years to see where things are undermined. But look, friends, I don't watch a lot of TV. If I watch TV, it's maybe an occasional sports, something like that. But I'm aware of what's on. I'll read about it and look into what's on. You've got shows now. It's been some years, hasn't it? Big Love, Sister Wives. These are shows about polygamy. This just normalizes it more and more in the American mind. Why is it wrong? Well, marriage is the union of two people. No, it's the union of a man and a woman. It's never been just the union of two people. Homosexuality has existed in many cultures through the centuries. In some cultures, it was celebrated, and yet people didn't redefine marriage because they understood what marriage was about. And Will, you're absolutely right. Pastors and leaders have to speak the truth in love. We are responsible. We are shepherds. We are prophetic watchmen. And if we don't raise our voices and speak out with clarity, it will bring mass confusions to others. And we as leaders will be responsible. What were we going to tell God on that day? It was controversial? Or I was going to lose a tithing member? Or I was going to get blasted on the internet? Or someone was going to vandalize my building? Is that what we're going to tell them? We didn't speak the truth because I was going to offend someone, hurt somebody's feelings? We do it with love. We do it with tears. We do it with compassion. But we don't back away from the truth. 866-384-8884. To comment on the question from Jennifer, the reason we're voting on this is so that no activist judge or activist judges, as happened in Iowa, can overthrow the definition of man and woman. Right now in North Carolina, it is possible that even though the law says that marriage is the union of a man and woman, that something could happen to overthrow that through an activist judge. That could happen. Once it is a constitutional amendment, the people have voted, it would take a certain vote from the people to overthrow that. You say, well, it's not right for the majority to vote on what the minority feels. So any time there's a minority, then the rest of the people can't vote? There are a whole lot of minority positions that a whole lot of people don't agree with, and there are a whole lot of minority positions that are just wrong. There are all kinds of groups that want to legalize and justify all kinds of things. We can't vote on that because we're not the minority? What kind of foolishness is that? You say, yeah, but what about health care for gay couples? Well, the government has no right to tell society you have to provide health care for gay couples. Based on what? And are you then going to monitor the behavior of gay couples and say, well, your activities are costing more to the society and more to insurance? It's not a government issue to do that. There's no government or business obligation to provide health care for gay couples. But this marriage amendment does nothing to affect that negatively. I assure you, Bank of America or Wells Fargo, they're going to continue with their policies of providing health care for gay couples. And any gay couple, if they want to visit each other in the hospital, and if they want to write one another into one of those wills, they can set that up. And North Carolina law says that's perfectly fine. And this amendment will not affect it at all. Don't let someone throw scare tactics at you. You say, yeah, but what about love? Okay, what do we tell other couples? What do we tell the polyamorous ones who say, I'm wired to have multiple relationships? Why do we reject that? Why do we reject millions and millions and millions of relationships around the world that are polygamous? What about love? What about the couple in Germany that's fighting for their right to love? Separated all their lives, only in their teen years and later do they find out they're brother and sister. They're in love. The man has served jail time. They've had four kids. I think two have been taken by the government. Why are we combating their love? Don't they have the right to marry the one love? That's gross. It's incest. Well, that's what you're going to say. Well, a man having sex with a man is gross to me. How can you say? Well, because God didn't intend it. Because it's not in the best interest of men. It's not in the best interest of women. It's not in the best interest of society. And love tells the truth. You're not going to find anyone who is more confrontational than Jesus. And Jesus told the truth. He wasn't trying to please people. Yeah, thanks, Joey. He saw a yard sign the other day. Amendment 1 is not good for the kids. Oh, it's not for the good of kids. So establishing and reinforcing marriage as a union of a mom and dad, and to say that we are against a kid being raised without a mom or without a dad, We are against a kid being raised by two moms or two dads because it's not in the best interest of a kid to be separated from a mom and separated from a dad by choice, and to guarantee that kid will either have no mother, no father. You're telling me it's in the best interest of kids to guarantee some will have no mom and some will have no dad? That's crazy. Yeah, Joey, I agree with you. That's crazy. Amendment 1 is good for kids and good for family and in the best interest of society. Vote yes for marriage.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we go straight to the phones with Angel in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, hi, Dr. Brown, and thank you for taking my call. And I have a quick comment. But, you know, God in his infinite wisdom, he knew that we would be having this discussion today. And so for those Christians who are not clear yet on what the Bible says about quote-unquote homosexuality because we want to twist scripture, I would encourage every last one of us to go to the book of Leviticus. You can start at the 18th chapter, but I like the 20th chapter, like the 13th verse, where God is clear, and you can't twist this. He says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. And he used abomination, so that nauseates him, for those that are confused. That nauseates God, so that's clear. But what I really called about was that matter about that pastor that got on the internet, and his constituent was, a little disturbed about his position. And I'm so glad that he did that, because the Bible is also clear about the false prophets that, we would have to deal with in the end. And he says that, especially in Isaiah, for one, he talks about these false prophets that's calling their people to err. But in 1 John, he says, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirit. And he tells us that there are false prophets among the people in 2 Peter, false teachers, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. So all we have to do, read the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. It is clear.
Yeah,
thank
Angel,
you for taking my call.
God bless you. Thanks. A couple of comments. Number one, we commented on Leviticus earlier, Leviticus 18:20 in the first hour. The 18th chapter, the 20th chapter. The fact is there are laws that God gave to Israel to keep them separate from the nations. There are other laws he gave them based on universal principle. If you read through Leviticus 18 from beginning to end, you'll see that the prohibition against homosexual practice and incest and some other sins is universal for all peoples. It was wrong for the Egyptians, wrong for the Canaanites, defiles the land, wrong for all people. We do not advocate death penalty today for adultery, or death penalty today for fornication, or death penalty today for homosexual practice. But we do emphasize that these things were really laid out as wrong, universally wrong, in the scriptures for a reason, detrimental to what God created, detrimental to the best interest of society. As for this pastor, I understand you talk to people, you have gay friends, and you say, look, we love each other, and we love Jesus, and we want to spend the rest of our lives together. The fact is, God's word doesn't sanction it. And love often causes us to break our own hearts. Love often causes us to get on our knees and cry out to God in pain. Love often causes us to do the opposite of what we'd like to do in the natural, because truth, friends, it's the word of God. And the truth of God that delivers us from often emotional attachments. It's happened to me many times. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces to the very division of soul and spirit, joints in the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I've had many times where I was emotionally pulled in this direction or that direction, so wanted to embrace this or embrace that. How do you think I feel with my own Jewish community, with rabbis that I love dearly, that are so sincere and that are so devoted to tell them you're lost without Jesus is very painful. But the Word of God comes and it separates soul from spirit and it gives us clarity. And once we start twisting Scripture, we have completely undermined the very foundations we have. Chiril in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Excellent. God bless you as well. You know, I am definitely going to vote yes on this amendment. There's not even a question for me as a Christian man, but I do have a problem with one of the things that the pastor was saying that was on, and it's kind of like he looked at the, as if the black community is immoral, and I just can't stand it when black pastors get on a white show and start acting as if they are, as if the black community is horrible and we need some chastisement.
Let me just jump in very quickly. What I heard him saying, and we can both listen back and see who's right or wrong. What I heard him saying was that someone like Al Sharpton or an activist who will fight against a poster against abortion or he'll say certain things, I thought he said he makes all of us look bad. I thought that was the point he was making. That to say, I believe he said those words, but we'll go back and listen, okay, right. Tyrell?
Just the way that he actually came across as if he was trying to say though that blacks are immoral and we're not going to, in our community, we basically look at it as if it's okay when no, homosexuality is bad in any community, regardless of what happens or how. And as Christians, we are going to vote yes on this because it's God's will, not because we're immoral or not immoral. It's God's will, and we're just going to have to do it.
Yeah, and listen, Tyrell, I appreciate you wanting to make that very clear. I heard that differently, but we'll go back and listen. But in any case, in case it was communicated a certain way or in case anyone else heard it the way you did, it's so important we clarify that. When I heard him talk about the immorality in the community, I thought he meant the homosexual community. When I first heard it, I thought he meant the black community. Then when I kept listening, I realized that what he was saying, Tyrell, was that we can't address the fruit of immorality and the fruit of sexually transmitted diseases in the homosexual community. We, meaning Christians or the population in general, are not allowed to address that. But in any case, I believe you, Pastor Gabe, and I all fully agree on that. And thank you for taking the time to make sure that was clear. I got to run, but thank you for the call, sir.
You are doing an awesome job, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, sir, and I appreciate you calling. God bless you, man. All right. By the way, James in Winston-Salem can't get your call, but yes, we're talking about redefining marriage. Let's not call it same-sex marriage or gay marriage. We're talking about redefining marriage. And please show me where marriage has ever been defined as the union of two people. A woman married herself a few weeks ago. You say it's crazy. Well, why is it crazy? Why is it crazy? And why are we telling millions of people around the world that polygamy is wrong? Why? Because it's two people. No, it's not just two people. It's a man and a woman and the two becoming one. And you redefine that, you mess with the very foundations of human society. Friends, this is ultimately a spiritual battle. And I want to encourage every one of you, if you haven't called yet, we're practically giving this away. It's over $30 worth of teaching. We now have it on one CD for $10 postage paid. So we're almost giving this away. The best teaching series I've ever done in my life on spiritual warfare, grounded in the Word, how to overcome, the battle we're facing, what is the armor of God, who are we doing war with? It will change your life and ground you deeply in Scripture. Just $10 postage paid. It's all on one CD for your computer or MP3 player. 8 different teaching sessions, 12 hours total. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you can help us with an additional gift, awesome. But call today. Every one of you get this. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we will stand tall for what is right here in North Carolina. We will stand up for marriage. We will stand up for family. Let the critics criticize. We, by God's grace, will do what is right.